Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. It is I, Mike, and he is everyone's favorite hockey playing actor, but beware as he may go Shredder on you. It's our good friend Tora Masamune returning to the show after 2 months.
Yeah, I know. It's been too long, but yeah, just crazy stuff going on. And so good stuff, but
and real quick, good to be before back. We hop into anything, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is brought to you by Cool Hockey. You like the jerseys you see us wearing on the show? Head over to the official NHL jersey retailer for the show and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link of coolhockey.com/TXHT. Again, that is coolhockey.com/TXHT and order your NHL jersey today. Obviously, Tora is not wearing his jersey right now.
Yeah.
But you know, you see him. He's out in LA. He's got the nice weather. It's not like 20 something degrees and snowing out here in the DC metro area. So he gets a pass right now.
I've got my Oilers jersey on inside. It's in here.
You mean this one that's right here?
Oh my God, that is beautiful.
Which,
you know, we love that one too, because if I recall, I think we've been batting 1,000 in that jersey, I believe.
Yeah, Caps are like, I think, 500 in their new alternate jerseys.
I think there's something to that. Every little bit helps. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all these things don't really matter, I guess. But I got to say, it gives you a little boost. Do you remember that feeling like when you're a kid? And I will admit that I still have it. When you get a new jersey or a new piece of equipment and you play in it, it's just like, you know, and you almost want to wear it like all around the house and stuff. I don't think it ever goes away. And I think that excitement, I'm sure if you're, I don't know, maybe some people are over it. Maybe McDavid's over it. I don't know. But I kind of feel like you can't, that's always part of the game, is throwing on a new jersey. Or even like, if I have a new set of gloves, I'm wearing them around all day, you know, new shoulder pads, man.
You're talking to somebody who actually needs new gloves, because I have holes in my left hand.
Yeah. And
big hole here, big hole here, and a small one forming right here. And it's like, I think I need a new glove or get it repalmed.
Yeah, I think so. Now get a brand. There's some great gloves out there. And so, you know, and you can, I think it's Warrior, I think you can do custom gloves too, which is always kind of fun. Expensive, but you know, and take forever to get it. But you can actually get custom coloring on your own.
But new gear, jerseys, that's a great segue for the Edmonton Oilers, who wore them last night, which we are recording Friday night, December 5th. They wore them last night when they played the Seattle Kraken, who also wore their alternate jerseys against the Edmonton Oilers, which, by the way, the Seattle Kraken alternate jerseys are complete trash. Like the old blackout jerseys by the Dallas Stars that they thankfully got rid of and have a brand new beautiful alternate jersey, which harks back to the 99 jerseys that they wore when they won the Stanley Cup. That is such a beautiful jersey. So majority of the authentic pros premiums, a lot of it, like the base main sizes, sold out in 9 minutes for the Dallas Stars alternate jersey. And then obviously the god awful Oilers navy jerseys with the orange on them.
I actually don't mind those, but I agree that they're not popular. But
the Kraken alternate jerseys are just as bad as those.
But
with that, the Oilers, they got them out of a little maybe losing streak. They are on a one-game winning streak, according to NHL.com standings. Last 10 games, they're 4-5-1. And they're currently, after 28 games played, 12-11-5 with 29 standing points for fifth in the Pacific Division. But I need to throw this out there because this is going to be a theme all season. I've talked about it with Bill Meltzer, Ted Starkey, Max Miller, Murray Pam. It's parity. And that's because when you look, and I'll bring up the Metropolitan Division in a little bit. When you look at the Pacific Division right now, Calgary and Vancouver are your outliers in the division. But Anaheim is at 16-10-1 with 33 points, first place in the division, followed by Vegas, who has 32 points, LA with 31 points, San Jose, who also has 29 points, but has the current tiebreaker over the Oilers because they have, I believe, more regulation wins than the Oilers do. Or they actually, no, they're 13-12-3, so they have more wins in general. Yeah, so it'd be, and then it's the Oilers at 29, and then the Kraken at 28, and then Calgary at 24, and Vancouver at 33, or 23, I mean. So when I'm looking at the Oilers, they're 4 points behind Anaheim for first place. All they need is two wins and Anaheim two losses, and that flips. And a case in point of that was the Washington Capitals, because the Capitals, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were 14th in the East, dead last in the Metropolitan Division, and now they're first place in both the East and the Metropolitan Division. But two losses, they could be back down at the bottom because that's just how much parity is in the league right now. I'll put this in perspective. Like, this is just the super quick version. The Capitals are at 36 points. The Columbus Blue Jackets are eighth at 31. That's a 5-point difference. That's how much parity
Crazy.
is going on right now in the NHL. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. But like last night, obviously, Oilers lit up the Seattle Kraken 9-4. McDavid got the hat trick. This is a catch up for you. You've been away for a while. While you've been away, how have you been keeping up on the team? And or in hockey in general, and what are your thoughts on like what you're just kind of seeing from your team right now?
Well, it's this is the what's always frustrating about being an Oilers fan is they do this every year. Now they've really pushed it this year in terms of the slow start. And I get that. You keep forgetting the postseason's really long and takes a lot out of you. And I get that. They're having to put in a little more hours than other people. Now I was also aware too, and even what's his name from Panthers coach. He was talking
Paul
about
Maurice.
Paul Maurice was saying, I said, oh, don't, everybody's talking, and from the Edmonton point of view, and that we go through this every year, it's just so frustrating. It's like, I know you guys can play better than this, but Paul Maurice said, well, you got to understand, and not to make excuses, but saying that you got to look at what they've been dealing with. They've been on the road, they've had a really tough start. And when you don't even have time to practice and all these things, it's hard to be really on your game. And so now that they have this sort of home stand that they've had time to practice and you see the effects of it, they're starting to look better. And maybe they just are slow start people, and it's I don't know why. I kind of felt like, okay, so that's going to happen. But this year, I don't know. They're pushing it so far that you don't know. You don't know.
I
But
think
I've
one
been,
of the bigger issues you guys have is A, your goaltending,
yeah, of course, of course, of
and B,
course.
your defense. Case in point, Evan Bouchard. I'm sorry, I've never been sold on Evan Bouchard. And I don't think he's worth the money. Now, of course, he's had a little bit of an upswing, but 2 weeks ago when I was looking, I think I was actually at the Oilers Capitals game. And I just pulled up the stats, and that was actually Thanksgiving week. So that was like 2 weeks ago. Or a
That's
week.
right.
No, it was actually, yeah, at this point, it's been 2 weeks now.
I think that was just
And
right after I got back, right?
and you had just done the show on that Christmas show that you did on for charity
That's right. That's right.
on the 21st. And actually no, the Oilers was after that, like a few days after that. And when I was looking at the stats, Evan Bouchard at that point was like a negative seven. Right now he's a plus one, so he's like, okay, you're kind of off the hook right now, but still, you're a negative seven at that point.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's like probably now your best top defensive center, -12. Connor McDavid is a -6. And then Darnell Nurse is a -10. Andrew Mangiapane is a -17.
Yeah, he was kind of, yeah, I don't know what happened to him. I
And
don't know
then
what happened. He
going back to defense, two more defensemen, Brett Kulak, -10, Alec
Yeah.
Regula, -11. And then when you look at your goaltending, Calvin Picard has a 4.04 goals against average and a
Man.
0.851 save percentage.
Jeez.
And Skinner has a 2.90 goals against average and a 0.888 save percentage.
Yep, pretty bad, pretty
Poss
bad.
I think possibly the worst in the NHL
Could be.
for pairs, goalie pairs.
And I do believe, I mean, that's one thing that's was good about the last few games. And I actually didn't even mind the Wild game because they're starting to play defense, and obviously they're starting to look at that and say, you know, and I like how the teams are saying it's, you know, goaltending's a team effort. And I do believe, you know, there's no question that it everybody's got to play together on that. And even with the, you know, the Wild just allowing the one goal, you know, not, and sadly, when you're doing poorly enough, there actually are moral victories. But and I think that was one in the sense that, okay, now they're starting to play better in front of the goaltenders, and they're not great. I agree.
But at the same time, like in the final, in the playoffs, especially in the deeper the playoffs, you can't expect to win games 9-4. You know, you're
Yep.
going to there's going to be a lot of 1-0, 2-1, 3-2 games that you're going to
But
have to win.
it's
And
interesting though, you know.
that's where the overall defense needs to come in, not just from like the forwards coming back and playing D, but your defensemen need to actually play the position too. And
Well,
that's kind of reflected.
absolutely. No, I'm very much about, you know, not because I'm not, you know, and again, I don't, it'd be nice if I agree with their ideas, like why make a lateral move, because I don't think that's necessarily, it's just not the goaltending. Because, and one thing what I do is I, you know, no one likes watching the opposition's goals, but I'll look at them very carefully. I said, whose fault was that? And then, or could a really great goaltender have stopped that? And, you know, the number one is okay, that's just a terrible goaltender. Like, I would say that one, I don't know if you watched the game, you know, where McDavid, one of, did you see that one where he came around? I think it was on a power play. Oh my God, talk about terrible special teams. Kraken, they're hopeless. They're hopeless on special teams, aren't they?
Capitals
But
have one of the worst power plays in the league right now, and one of the
well,
worst.
not only is the power play, but they can't, they're not just their power play, but also when they're on the PK, it's ridiculous. It's, I mean,
Well,
it's just
it's
a,
interesting you say that because apparently Connor McDavid is trying out some new sticks from a different from
okay.
CCM this time. And I don't know who his stick supplier normally is and stuff like that. I don't
Well, I thought
pay
he sells
attention.
a season.
Well, it could be, still be CCM, but it could be a different style stick that they make. And apparently he was using that last night in the game, and everyone's like, oh, you know,
Stick to that, right?
he might have found a new stick style or something like that. But
Well,
like
he and
that.
also he was shooting because he realized he may have lost the game, because he wasn't a shoot first mentality against the Wild, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you the kind of getting back to that one thing, which I thought was, do you remember? And I, because it's McDavid, I guess you can give, you know, Joey Decord, I think you can give him a little bit of slack. But there's one point where, remember, he was kind of coming around, and he, everybody's so used to McDavid passing, and he doesn't have any tells. That's the thing that's cool about him. And he just shot it, and it looked like such a soft goal because, you know, Joey Decord had not gone down yet. Said, oh, well, don't mind if I do. And he just popped it in between, you know, and I thought that, that's not a good goaltender. You know, and I looked at all the ones, the four and Calvin Pickard. I said, well, the defense let him down a little bit. Like that one point, Ekholm could have brush that one away. There are a bunch of things. I said, I think in pretty much all of them, it was either bad luck or the defense let him down. The Draisaitl thing gives up the puck. So I do believe the problem is not in the goaltending. It's not great. It's not helping. But I believe the problem is they just got locked down defensively, and they can. And I don't know why they don't every single night. I don't know why that's just like not.
So
I don't get it.
I will throw this out there super quick, and I'm trying to find who the goalie was. So the Capitals and the Oilers played in DC the day before American Thanksgiving.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm
I
saying
do
American
remember.
Thanksgiving for our Canadian listeners
Of
or
course.
viewers. The goalie on record for the Capitals was Logan Thompson.
Yes,
No,
I remember that.
Logan Thompson is the guy who is probably going to play himself on the Team Canada. Who also wants to be on Team Canada? Stuart Skinner. Do you know who the goalie of record
Ah.
was in the game against the Caps? Stuart Skinner. Stuart Skinner got lit up like a Christmas tree, gave up
Yeah, no,
seven
I'm
goals.
looking down. That was
But like
7-4
the
for
one thing
Capitals, right?
that, but the thing that I like you m mentioned, like McDavid with the no-tell, when Leon Draisaitl scored that power play goal, where I sit, Draisaitl was like right in front of me. I mean, granted, I'm in the 400s, but I see Draisaitl just sitting in front of me. And just the way he does that pass to Draisaitl, Logan Thompson has no chance whatsoever on that. And that's the thing. You know, when you see Draisaitl as open as you are, the goalie, and this is where I'm protecting Descartes a little bit because he's also on one of my fantasy teams in Yahoo Fantasy Hockey. You know Draisaitl's over there. You know McDavid can do the pass to get to Draisaitl for the perfect one-timer. So goalies are going to cheat a little bit. So to say that it's not Decord was a bad goalie on that one, I probably would give him the benefit of the doubt because he has in the back of his mind, Draisaitl's right over there behind me
Yeah,
to my
I get
left.
it. I
You
get
know,
it. I
so
get
it's like
it. But
see
to
what
me,
you
it
see.
looked
And then
like I
look.
look at all the things that were on Pickard. A couple of them were just defense could have definitely bailed him out, and it was a turnover or in that Ekholm thing. He could, I don't know why he couldn't get at it, you know. And I know it happens
Well,
very quickly,
I think
but
the
you know.
worst thing for Stuart Skinner is that he's also made a lot of flub plays this season too, like
Oh my God.
misplaying the
Epically.
puck right in like right outside his crease, just misplaying the puck where the other team can just come in and poke the puck right between his legs and into the goal.
You know what? You know what I love? You know, they did the and you gotta the guy, you gotta love the guy. I mean, he's great. But there is the post game interview, and he's saying, all right, well, let's get this over with, right? And he starts talking about it, and he's trying to discuss, you know, and he's that usual sort of like Zen, like Stuart Skinner kind of vibe, which is frustrating. And he starts talking about, well, you know, my reaction was just a little slow, and that was all it was. I'm going, hold it, hold it. You're a goalie.
You gotta
Isn't
be
that what
like, you
you're
gotta be a
supposed
lot more lightning quick, man.
to?
Oh no, the worst
Isn't slow
one,
reaction like the worst thing you could have?
but the well, the worst one was the game before the Capitals that the Oilers played. They were in Buffalo. And at the end, and I think that was another game where they gave up seven goals, and they pulled Skinner to try to, you know, for the extra man. And the Buffalo play-by-play guy goes, and the Oilers have pulled Skinner for the empty net. Rob Ray comments, going, "I don't know, man. That net's been empty all game."
That's funny. That's funny.
So it's like,
Yeah,
that's how it's been feeling in Edmonton right now, apparently. So.
It's not good, but I would say the last, you know, little while, and it's that time of year, it's now or never, I believe. And as you're saying, it's still within reach, but I don't know what
Yeah,
I don't know
I
what it
mean,
is
looking
about
at the
that team that
standings,
can.
they're still in it. That's the crazy
Yeah,
part. They're still in
and
it.
I do believe that for them, it's not it, they just have to lock down and do it. And I don't know why. I don't know the psychology of why that's. Well, I know why it's so hard, but I don't know why they don't do it. And I guess they're very
Well,
much they need a gun to their head kind of
I'm looking
team. I
at
don't
it
know.
from a wild card perspective, which I really don't do until like February. Honestly
Yeah.
speaking, I don't look at the wild card race until February. But right now, Chicago and Utah have the wild card spots with San Jose and Edmonton on the outside looking in.
Okay.
So, and Utah has 29 points, but they have the tiebreaker over the Sharks, and they have identical records, which means I think Utah might have played San Jose, or they have probably like, oh, they have more goals forward right now. That's why
Yep.
for that one. So yeah, so it's like it's interesting when you look at it that way. So I guess that's why people who are probably already looking at the wild card race are probably panicking. But again, Utah and San Jose just have to lose a game, and Edmonton has to win one, and now they're in that wild card spot.
And they have historically shown that it's just a schizophrenic team, and they have historically shown that sometimes it flips. You know, like I was kind of hoping when I was out sailing, you know, because it turns out it was just too hard to we had Starlink, but it was just too hard to watch games from there. And also we had kind of power issues and stuff. So I ended up not watching any games from the boat from out at sea. But I was kind of hoping, because this happened in the past, I come back and all of a sudden they're a great team. But sure enough, they weren't. You know,
Well,
they've
when you came back, they got Zach Hyman back.
Yeah, and that was great. I don't know if you saw that the goal he got, that a clean goal, that was really great. I thought, okay, so little things like that. Two, I think the three things, they just got locked down in defense. I don't know what they're going to do about goaltending, because you're right, there's no one great out there that they can even trade for. So what they can't, you
Well,
know, or
there's debate right now because technically speaking, Pittsburgh has four goaltenders.
they do, they do.
They have Tristan Jarry, which I wouldn't touch him. They got Artur Seelöf, who they picked up from Vancouver during the offseason.
He's
They
good.
got Joel Blomqvist, who was originally going to be the backup to Tristan Jarry before the Seelöf trade. And then they got this fourth kid who's in the AHL right now. So it's like they
Yeah.
got four goaltenders, and so there's some talk that maybe they can move, maybe the Penguins will move Tristan Jarry, or maybe they'll move someone else to Edmonton because it would be an improvement from what they have, what the
But
Oilers have
by
now. But at the same time, if I'm the Penguins, I'm not taking Pickard, I'm not taking Skinner. But the other option that is there is that during the offseason, he came off the player assistance program, and then Utah traded him to Edmonton so he can get a fresh start. You got him in the minors. He was playing very good for the then Arizona Coyotes and then the Utah Mammoth before he, went to player assistance, Connor Ingram. Do the Oilers finally pull the trigger and give him that opportunity to potentially turn things around in Edmonton in goal?
But I kind of feel like, and I guess maybe I'm maybe somewhat in agreement with Oilers management on this, is I think before even addressing the goaltending, which is the obvious stat that you're that's staring at us, is the leadership. That's why I thought last night was great. And it's always this way against the Kraken. You get Draisaitl, you know, and Hyman scoring the goal. That's got to happen every night where they're the leaders, even RNH, you know, having all those guys step up and then lock down on defense. If they just take care of those two things so it's consistent and fairly predictable every night, then I feel like, okay, then you can talk about goaltending, because I
But
as I
the
was saying,
problem
I
with that
analyze it.
is that if your goaltending is still give, or if your team, let's just not
Yeah.
say the word goaltending, but if your team is still giving up 3 to 4, 5 goals a
Yeah.
game, A, okay, all right, well, we got our offense up and running. That's great. We got our power play up and running. Okay, that's great. But we're still giving up 3, 4, 5 goals a game.
Yeah.
The next obvious step would be, okay, let's look at our defense. Where in our
I'm
defense
thinking.
can we fix? And if you do improvements there and you're still getting a 3, 4, 5 goals, it's like, okay,
Yeah.
well, it's obviously the we definitely
What?
100% have a goaltending
Well, I
problem.
guess if I think in terms of problem solving, if I'm sort of sitting there, okay, what am I problem solving? Like when you do problem solving, you eliminate what is the problem. And I would start with make sure the offense is playing, you know, or the leadership, in other words, first two lines are playing, doing what they're supposed to do, what they're capable of. And then is the defense doing what they're capable of? So to me, it's sort of a discipline level on the first two lines and the defense, and then you can start saying, okay, if the goaltending's still bad, then yeah, then you got to fix
Yeah.
it. But
Well, I mean, but also,
I think
like you
that
mentioned leadership. And I don't know about this stat at all because it doesn't show it on here. But how many shots does like Connor McDavid block, you know, in a game? Like, and for those listening, I am not questioning, you know, Connor McDavid as a two-way player. But when you look at Sidney Crosby,
Yep, I agree.
Anze Kopitar, amazing two-way players.
And
Amazing.
I got to
And they
say,
do
that
those
is
loads.
true.
And then, but here's the comparable, though, for Connor McDavid, because he's thrust into that conversation as a big, massive point producer. Alex Ovechkin. Alex is, you know, in the way, in his twilight of his NHL career.
Amazing.
But one of the things is that he is trying to be a very respectable 5-on-5 player. And when you say
Yep, I
five
agree.
on five player, it's not just in the offensive zone. We're talking in the defensive zone as well. Like the fact that Ovi's willing to try to block shots and get in those shooting lanes. And before people go, oh, well, he doesn't really, like, I'm at the home games. I see it a lot more, you know? So, but it's like, is there that buy-in for McDavid? You
Yeah,
know,
I
to do
agree.
that type of play, you know, say, hey, I need to be better at that 5-on-5 hockey. Because, like I said, right now he's sitting at a -6.
Yeah.
And he has 14 goals and 26 assists for 40 points. And he's a
Yeah.
-6. Next on the team is Leon Draisaitl, 16 goals, 19 assists, 35 points. He's a +5. So that's a very big contrast between the two players.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing I feel sometimes when I see McDavid, he's obviously amazing. But I kind of feel like the league's learned to play against him a little better over the years. Like I figured they know how to neutralize him a little more than they
Yeah, but
used to.
everyone's learned how to play against Ovechkin too and neutralize
True.
Ovechkin, and Ovechkin still has 911 goals.
Yeah, he's kind of he's a freak. I mean, he's
Everyone thinks
I
Ovechkin will freight train you.
No, he is he I got to say that guy is a freak. And it's pretty amazing seeing what's happening in, as you're saying, the twilight of his career, but it doesn't feel that way, you know?
It
It feels
doesn't
like,
feel like, I mean, the twilight of his NHL career. We don't know how much longer he has. I still think this is his last year. We'll see. But
do
I
you
want to
think he'll
first.
just go out on top? Do you think he'll just do that? Or is he going to say, I love being on the ice and I'm going to play. Do you think he'll do that?
There's multiple factors at play. Obviously, if they win the Stanley Cup this year, you know, knock on wood,
Yeah.
he could retire right then and there because, all right, I got the cup, I get to go out on top.
Yeah.
If they don't win the cup, but he feels like the team's still a contender and he's still producing pretty well, like he
Yeah.
is right now, he's happy with his minutes, he's happy with what he sees from the team. There's maybe a 25% chance he comes back next season. I'm not giving it a 50-50, I'm giving it a 25.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We don't know. Like
It
that's the
seems to
thing.
me
That's the
too,
thing.
if
When we
it.
find, when we actually hear something, then we'll know. That's the
Yeah.
problem. Nobody knows anything, and we'll actually talk about something regarding event. But I'm gonna throw this out there. So remember how I said, you know, McDavid has 40 points and is a -6. Ovechkin in the same amount of games, 28 games, 14 goals, 15 assists, 29 points, +10. Now,
Yeah.
granted, they're probably putting him out in more strategic scenarios, not like having him in a lot of defensive zone faceoffs. But that's a contrast right there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can look up Crosby and see what he's doing, but I don't want to look up Crosby because you know he's going to have amazing stats too. But it's
Yeah.
just that comparable that you throw out there. It's like McDavid's more of an offensive player, but you need to buy in on the 5-on-5 side too.
Well, one thing good about last night is, and it's funny. I was not aware of the new stick thing, so that's kind of cool. And
Yeah,
he's got to be pleased with it.
I forgot who said something about that. I think it might have been Elliot Friedman.
But he, McDavid must be pretty pleased about that. But one thing I thought is now, and I think that one goal, that's their no look goal, because Decord was fully expecting that puck to go to Draisaitl on his left side. Now that adds that other thing, because I think one thing is he wasn't a shoot first guy, But now, if he starts getting more of that reputation, that's going to open up a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
That's going to open up a lot of things because now you do have to worry about two things at the same time.
It's
Before, I
kind
think.
of like when the Capitals had Mike Green
Okay.
on the team. You know, when the Caps would go on the power play, obviously everyone would be thinking, oh, we're going to pass to Ovi. But from time to time, and he had a lot of power play goals himself, was Mike Green. And what they
Right.
would do is that to take some of that onus off of Ovechkin and everyone going to Ovechkin, Mike Green would do a lot of point blasts on goal.
Right.
Because now more teams are going to try to defend against Green, which if they're going to defend Green on the penalty kill, that
Right,
opens
right,
up
right, right.
Ovechkin. So it's like you got to create
And
options.
I yeah, so I think that's so that's one positive I got out of it last night. I think aside from what I was saying is, these are the leaders of the teams, and I don't know what it is, but they've just got to be who they are. I think those kind of things. Aside from that, I think it just changes the game because now goalies are going to think twice about assuming that McDavid's going to pass.
Yeah.
So because he's definitely last night was clearly, I think it's because he's kind of pissed during the Wild game. He said, "You know what? We lost 1-0. I just needed to
Yeah,
get
but
one goal."
you want to know something though? They went up against Jesper Wallstedt.
Oh my God, he's so
The
good.
kid is 7-0. Wait, I gotta pull
And
this up.
he's
Okay,
got
this I
like
do have to pull up.
four shutouts in the last six games or something crazy like that.
Yeah, hold on. He's only played like 7 games this season. He's the backup to Filip Gustavsson. Oh no,
And
Krejci. He has no, Krejci. He has played. He has played 10 games so far this season. In 10 games this season, he is 8-0, 8-0-2. So he's 8 wins, 0 losses, 2 regulation loss or 2 overtime losses. He has a 1.74 goals against average, a 0.944 save percentage, and 4 shutouts.
that's
So
insane.
four of his wins are shutouts. Like 50% of his wins are shutouts right now. Like he is
That's crazy.
amazing. And the interesting thing is that I forget who it was. I think he was drafted in the 2021 draft, and I'd have to look it up. 2021
And I think
NHL.
Edmonton—that's that—that's the big narrative—is that Edmonton could have picked him up then,
Yeah, I think
but they
so. Hold
didn't.
on. I'm pulling it up real
But they did.
quick.
But they didn't. I can't remember exactly what happened, but they could have, and they didn't.
So the
They got someone else.
Oilers, so he was 20th. So the Oilers traded the 20th pick
Right.
to the
That's what it was.
Wild for the 22nd pick
That's what it
so the
was.
Wild could pick up Wallstedt. And it's
That's what it
like, and then
was.
the Oilers ended up picking a guy who's probably never going to make it to the NHL and Xavier Borgald. And it's like,
Classic.
so it's like, so what, like when you say you're angry because it's like, oh, they lost 1-0. Yeah, they lost 1-0 to the guy that they could have been their number one goalie right now. That's just even more salt
Yeah.
in the wounds right now.
That is, yeah. That was Yeah, so at least it was just 1-0. It wasn't 4-0. So that was a good thing. So that's
Yeah,
a good
but
thing. But yeah, so it's crazy. But hindsight, right? You don't know who's gonna. It's hard to hit on draft picks, right? It's hard to tell because it's hard to tell who's gonna be what, right?
yeah, so real quick, I just want to do a little transition off the Oilers. I
Yeah,
think
of course, yeah.
we've beaten that horse to death for right
We
now.
have, we have. So Oilers. So, but my I think is my analysis. Oilers just have to start winning.
Really?
Discipline. No, I'm going to say disciplined. I remember hearing last year, Knobloch, they're interviewing him and they're saying, "Oh no, I think we're playing well. We just have to work on, a couple of things like scoring goals and winning." I'm going, "Oh, well, that's great.
That's a
That would be a
great
good thing. To,
concept
that
because
that's a good concept." Thanks, Coach Knobloch.
maybe stopping the puck too would be good as well,
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
maybe saves, scoring goals and winning. Those would be. We just have to work on those things. We'll be fine. But anyway, but that being said, I do believe I'll end on this. I believe the skills. I think it's just a matter of discipline at this point and figuring out that part first, And then maybe if there's some opportunity with the goaltending, yes, maybe. But right now, discipline, I think, is the number one issue to me.
Yeah. Well, something to keep in mind, one of the changes in the CBA is that a player has to be on a roster if salary is retained. And then in order for a second team to retain salary on that same player in the same season, that player needs to be on that roster for, I believe, like 60 or 75 days or something like that. So if there are going to be some moves, especially if it's going to be a double salary retention, expect some moves by December 19th. Because when the trade deadline comes in March, that's when a double salary retention scenario will come in play. Because you can't, oh, I'm going to trade him to this team, and then they're going to immediately trade him to this team while the original two teams retain salary. It can't work like that anymore.
Gotcha.
So that's something to kind of keep in mind. But we're going to transition. We're going to stay in the West. We're going
Yes.
to go to the Central Division super quick. And Colorado, they just lost their second regulation game last night against the New York Islanders. And there was a nice little brouhaha when the game ended, which we'll get to in a moment because we got to talk about Detroit. We'll do that a little later in the show because there's something I want to harp on so badly. The Colorado is 19-2-6 with 44 points. They're like the top team in the NHL right now.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Some of the other people I've had on the show say, they're a wagon right now. Dallas is right up there at 18-5-5 with 41 points, and they just lost Tyler Seguin, potentially for
Yeah.
the rest of the season, maybe into the playoffs
Which,
with
yeah.
with an ACL injury. And
Yep.
they have some other injuries on that team too that are affecting the Stars. Minnesota's third place in the division at 35 points. So this is where your parity is going to come into play for the Central Division. Minnesota, Chicago, 30 points. Utah,
Yep.
29, which we mentioned earlier. Winnipeg's at 27. St. Louis is at 25 points. Nashville's at 24. It's safe to say that St. Louis and Nashville are probably out of the picture. They're
Right.
the other two outliers in the Western Conference, along with Calgary and Vancouver.
Yeah.
So really your parity, apologies. Sorry, everyone. My throat's a little beat up. I worked two events the last two nights, so my throat's a little banged up. When you know how it is, Tor, when you're in those loud party rooms and you have to like raise your voice, your throat gets a little beat up.
Yeah.
But between Minnesota and Winnipeg, that's where your parity is. It could be anybody of those four teams that get third place in the division and one or two of the wild card spots in the Western Conference. Like, what have you seen out of the Central Division outside of the fact that Colorado is a freaking tanking, like just destroying everybody? But then
Yeah,
St. Louis,
absolutely.
and besides, obviously, St. Louis and Nashville just crap in the bed, putting it politely.
Yep.
Okay, I guess with that, we're gonna go right into the next thing.
Yeah, that's a
Okay.
tough division though, huh? I mean, boy. What great teams. What great teams.
So before we hop into the Eastern Conference, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is also brought to you by Oats Overnight. When we're on the go but still need breakfast, Oats Overnight is the healthy on-the-go breakfast choice for the show in TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link in the description on both TXHTHockey.com and in the YouTube show description to try Oats Overnight today. And I believe with the link, it's actually a referral link, which means I think you get $20 off.
Nice.
Hey. Anyone would like $20 off.
I think so. I wouldn't
So,
mind it.
with that, we're gonna hop into the East. We're gonna talk about the Caps. You know, you and I, we're talking. You and I, we just talk a lot. We go, we should probably just be recording this because that's just
That's
how
right.
we are
That's right.
sometimes. But like, if we were talking like 2, 3 weeks ago, the Caps would have been in 8th place in the
That's
Metro,
so crazy. I mean, that is
14,
crazy to me.
14th place in the Eastern Conference. They are now first place in
What's their win streak?
their win streak is 6 games right now.
That's crazy.
But they are 9-1-0 in their last 10.
Was this 9-1-0 in the
Oh,
last?
10.
Oh, I see, because they lost something 7 games ago, is what you're
So
saying.
let's see here. One, two,
See, that's a run, man. That's a
three,
run.
four, five, six. Yeah, they lost to Tampa on the 22nd.
Yeah, that's a
The
run. That's a.
beginning of their streak was ironically against LA, because they started off November sluggish. They lost in the shootout to Buffalo, then they beat St. Louis, lost to Pittsburgh and Tampa, beat
Okay.
Carolina, lost to Florida, and then lost in the shootout to New Jersey. And then when they played LA at home on the 17th of November, that is when the turnaround began. So going into the game with the LA Kings, sorry, they were eighth place in the Metro.
Yeah.
And they got three straight, lost to Tampa Bay at home. I have a very beautiful picture of Brandon Hagel scoring one of his goals in that game.
Oh yeah, that
Yeah,
you took.
that I took. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll have to see that later.
I sent you the picture of
Oh, did you?
from
I'll
no no
check.
I
Sorry
sent
about
you a
that.
picture of Ovi scoring 900.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I
Yeah,
remember that. I remember
I know
that.
you're away, but I had to send you that picture anyways. It's like, he just
Yeah.
scored 900. That was
Yeah.
against St. Louis. But after that loss, you know, I mean, but look at the I want to throw these scores out to you for the wins. They beat LA 2-1, beat Edmonton 7-4, beat Montreal 8-4, beat Columbus 5-1, beat Winnipeg 4-3, beat Toronto 4-2, beat the Islanders 4-1, beat the Kings 3-1, shellacked the Sharks 7-1 the other night. Tonight they play Anaheim because it's a 10 p.m. game. That's why I don't mind recording right now, because, well, they're not playing until 10 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock your time. Then we get Columbus on Sunday. You know, so it's like there's a
So,
so like when you look at it, it's like the Capitals are just rolling.
well, tell me this, and I'm doing this because, the interest of polite conversation, but also because I need to hear this for a team that desperately needs to turn around. What happened? What happened 10 games ago? Like, what, I mean, that you're saying, I mean, you must have felt, you must, I mean, I don't know, like, I don't. When they were in eighth, I mean, I don't, I mean, obviously you had to go through a change because you're thinking, all right, well, that's what's happening this year.
I
But
think it's the
what happened?
parity. Number one, it's the parity in the division.
Sure,
That's
you're.
number one. Because at this point, when the Cavs went into that first game with LA, the Devils were in first place, the Hurricanes were in second place, the Penguins were in third. I think the Islanders were in fourth. You know,
Well,
Columbus,
what
I
kind of
think, and
teams were they losing to?
the Caps,
Yeah, at that
or in
point.
general,
Yeah,
let
no,
me pull the
previous that.
let me pull the schedule back up.
Yeah, were they
So
losing to like just good teams, or were they just like
they
not playing? In
lost.
other words, were they playing poorly and they
So
stopped playing poorly? That's my question.
well, let's put it in perspective like this. I want to go back to October real quick. They lost to Boston twice. And Boston right now is second place in the Atlantic. They did go on a four-game win streak in October where they beat the Islanders, Rangers, Tampa, and Minnesota. Then they
Okay,
lost to
okay.
Vancouver. Then they lost to Vancouver. So that's a team that you lost to that you should have beat.
Yep.
They lost to the Senators 7-1. Let's see where they are in the standings. Ottawa right now is sitting in fifth, but again, if you rule out, well, you can't even really rule out the Panthers or the Sabres right now, because
No.
it's an 8-point difference between Tampa and Florida and Buffalo, and Florida and Buffalo both have 26 points. But so, like, Ottawa is fifth place right now, so they're 4 points behind Tampa. So it's like, all right, you know, that's a game you wanted to win, but you also didn't show up. They lost 1-0 to Dallas. Dallas is a good team. Dallas is a damn good team. And you lost 1-0. They lost to the Islanders, which is a team you should never lose to, because on paper they're just not good. Losing to the Sabres in the shootout was bad. I think they might have had a lead in that game. I'm actually going to pull that up real quick. No, the Capitals came back to force overtime in that one. They were down 3-2 after the first period. No, that's what it was. They had the 2-0 lead, and then they let the Sabres score three straight to take a 3-2 lead. So you had that mental lapse there. Lost to Pittsburgh, another team you should have beat. Then you have the two you lost to the Panthers, which again, despite their injuries, are still a dangerous team. They still have
Yeah, I
Sam
agree.
Bennett. They still have Sam Reinhart. Yeah, they're missing
Oh,
Barkov and
you can never
Tkachuk.
you can never count out the Panthers, for sure, for
The
sure.
Devils losing to them in the shootout, I can accept it. It's a team you'd rather beat, but I can accept it because they're like at the time they were at the top of the division at the time, so you can kind of understand it. And then obviously the two losses to Tampa Bay, which is the top team in the Atlantic Division right now.
Right.
So it's like when you look at it from that perspective, there's some teams you should have beat. There's some teams you probably were going to lose to, but at the same time, I think because the Capitals are also dealing with some injury stuff. They lost Pierre-Luc Dubois for 3 to 4 months due to surgery on his abdomen and adducator,
I remember hearing that, yeah.
which is kind of like a groin injury in a way.
Yeah.
So he's out 3 to 4 months. Nick Dowd has missed. He just came back in the game against the Sharks. He had missed like, I think like 4 or 5 games or something like that. Justin sort of just missed the game, dude, and he's a game time decision today. John Carlson's missing his second game now. And I think that's a big problem with not just the Capitals, but a lot of teams, which is why a lot of this parity is happening, is there's a lot of injuries happening to a lot of teams because of the condensed schedule, because of the Olympic break, which now the
Right.
question is, are we going to the Olympics? Because the arena may not be to standards, especially with the ice conditions.
Yeah.
Everyone knows I'm rooting for them to not go to the Olympics because it'll just embarrass the league, going, hey, this is why you don't make dumb business decisions and shut down your league to let people go to the let the players go to the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't like
It's
that. I don't like that.
bad business.
Yeah, I
And
don't
the
know. I mean,
and
and I know
I
these
need to
play.
note this real quick before you go into your note. I need to note this real quick. As a hockey player growing up playing ice hockey as a kid and a teenager, and who was draft eligible to go into the NHL, which I sucked, I knew that. Not once did I ever desire to play for Team USA. Not once. My goal was the NHL and the Stanley Cup, because the
Yeah,
Stanley
absolutely.
Cup is the ultimate trophy. I don't care about the Olympics. It's mostly exhibition anyways when you look at it at the end of the day, and they don't mean anything.
Well, back in the day, back in the day, it
Oh
was an
yeah, like
amateur
the
sport.
'80s, and it was a great way to scout talent to come into the
Yeah.
league, and I
And
think
it was
that's what it
exciting
was.
on that level because you had young, unproven players and like it was, and you had the big bad Russians, and it was actually, and they're saying, oh, but they're basically professionals, and but now it's sort of like, you're right, it's exhibition, and you really wonder. I mean, I gotta say, what was that, Four Nations? That was pretty cool, though. I gotta admit that Four Nations, I was shocked at how I got sucked into that. That was
Yeah,
pretty damn cool.
my thing is this. My thing is I liked the last Olympics because they always say, oh, we got to send the NHL players so they can, let them live out their dreams. And well, the ultimate dream is to win the Stanley Cup.
I think so, but
But it's also great for the NHL. It's great publicity. The publicity has never been there, man. You can't even use the footage. You're not allowed to use the footage.
oh, okay,
Even
yeah.
when they had the contract with NBC, they still couldn't use the footage.
But we'll see. We may be
But not only
singing
that, but
different
wait,
tune.
but not only that, but here's the other thing. The only 2 times you got a minor blip of a bump for the NHL was 2002 in Salt Lake City and 2010 in Vancouver. because they're within the league's time zones.
Right.
When they're in Japan, when they're in Russia, when they're in Italy, the games are at times when nobody's going to be up to watch them.
Well, but the thing is that, who knows? Maybe when it comes around, like I was shocked at how the four nations, I was not looking forward to that, but I got sucked into that. And I'm thinking, you keep forgetting Olympics, how compelling those are. And maybe you and I will be just totally sucked into it and saying, oh my God, I'm
I
so
didn't watch a game
glad.
of Four Nations. I did not
Oh,
watch
you
a
didn't?
single I
Oh,
did
you
not watch a
didn't?
single game
Okay.
of Four Nations. I did not care.
Interesting.
I did not
Oh,
care
really? Too.
because I knew the short term was going to be successful. I knew that because it was like a 9.3 viewership on ESPN for the
Yeah.
championship game between USA and Canada.
Yeah.
But the long term effect failed. And that's what
Well,
I knew was going to
not to mention that it kind of effed up some players that I don't appreciate,
Oh
having them
yeah.
compromise that way. I
Well,
mean,
and
with
that and
Dave,
that's the and
you
that's
know,
part of the
Jim.
problem that you're going to see going into the Olympics. Like Matthew Tkachuk hasn't played a game yet this season. He's probably going to come back some point this month to get some games in before the Olympics, so he's
And that was
ready
all
for
from
the.
Four Nations? Was that all from
Yeah.
Four Nations? Yeah.
It was a combination of he was beat up from Four Nations. He wasn't 100% when he came back for the playoffs and then did the long playoff run. So it's a
Yep.
combination of both. But the thing is though is that like but still it's like like Four Nations short term in that 2 week period
And those far fewer games, right? Yeah.
succeeded on the short term, but it didn't do what it was supposed to do in a longer term effect, which is grow the game, which is why they always claim they let the players go play in the Olympics to grow the game. It does not grow the game for the NHL.
I agree. I
It
agree.
does not bring in
And
viewership for the NHL.
it comes at a time. I mean, right now, I mean, you and I are obviously ridiculous hockey fans. So, we watch every game, but
Or
most
almost
people
every
aren't
game when
tuning.
we can.
I mean, I come with, I talk to people that are, I know they're Oilers fans, but they're, hey, you've been watching this, nah, and they're waiting until around then, right? They're waiting around then to start watching the games. And I'm thinking, yeah, so why do you have to switch the Olympics? I don't know. Maybe the notion is that people start watching the Olympics and they start getting, hey, they start liking hockey again and they want to watch the NHL. I don't know,
But if
but I think
they already have the casual viewer, it doesn't matter because they know they're going to get those eyeballs in the playoffs anyways, and
yeah.
in that race to the playoffs anyways.
Yeah.
What the whole point is to get new viewers and in scores. And when you have a finals match between Canada and the US that brings in 9.3 million, and then your Stanley Cup final is about the same the year before in viewership. And it doesn't even get close to the number of what that Canada US game viewership
Yeah.
was. That's a
Yeah.
failure. You
Yeah, I
failed.
gotcha.
You failed on your long-term plan.
It's almost like people are over hockey at that point, what you're saying. By the time it's Stanley Cup final, they kind of got their fill during the Olympics and they're kind of over it by the
Yeah,
time.
the only league that I'm okay with doing an Olympic
Oh, by
break.
the way, sun-wise, I'm almost ready to take these sunglasses off, just so you know. The great reveal.
I could tell because you've been trying to like hide in your eye, like
Yeah,
kind of
yeah, yeah.
like,
No,
yeah,
there,
but
there's a there's there, it just kind of went over the horizon. I said, I'm almost ready to take these sunglasses off. So anyway,
yeah, but
I'll let you finish your point. I'll take my sunglasses
but
off.
the
How does
one
that
league
sound?
I'm okay with doing it in an Olympic break is the PWHL. And the reason I'm okay with the PWHL is because for since essentially 1998, the only way you would get to see women's hockey is at the Olympics. So every 4 years you would see the women play and go, man, they're really good. And
There
most of
they
the
are
time,
good.
and most of the
Yeah.
time, their
I
games are
love women's
better.
hockey.
And most and 9 times out of 10, their games are better than the men's games in the Olympics. Anyway.
Well, I don't know about you, but
But
I
the
just find women are great to play with on the ice too, because
Oh
they
yeah. I've had
it's
female
like they
teammates my entire career, and I completely agree with that
like all
statement.
of a sudden, like mentally, I don't know, like I just kind of feel like there's it's just a smarter game. And then you get opportunities that you wouldn't get otherwise because all of a sudden they're thinking,
Yeah.
so I love women's hockey and I learn a lot from it too.
But
So
that's kind of the point of like a little bit of like I'm okay with it with the women with the PWHL doing an Olympic break, because the reality is that A, they have the majority of the US and Canadian national team players in the league, number one. Number two, they're still establishing themselves. And they're not in the same boat where the NHL, like, honestly, the NHL needs to be putting on games the day after the Super Bowl or the days after the Super Bowl. The NHL needs to be doing that. They need to be taking advantage of the fact that the NFL is officially done, and just really kind of grab that baton and run with it. They're not doing that. They're not even playing on Super Bowl Sunday
That's
this
a
year.
good point, because there is a big void that happens after the Super Bowl, and why not take advantage of it? That's
Yeah,
one, that's a
that's
great point.
in but the PWHL, again, I will give them the pass because they're in year three. They're still establishing themselves. They know that women's hockey at the Olympics draws viewership, and that if they can get them talking about, like, or people searching, like, oh, Hillary Knight plays this for the Seattle Torrent. Alex Carpenter plays for the Seattle Torrent. Kendall Coyne Schofield plays for the Minnesota Frost, or any of these other Olympians that play in the PWHL. That's going to bring more eyes to the PWHL. That
I
is going
agree.
to work a lot better for the women than it is for the men. And it has been proven with the men that it doesn't work.
No,
Whereas
I agree.
with the women, it has a lot more viability for success.
And the season's a little, it's not parallel, right? It's
No, they are. They're playing right now. Yeah, they
they
don't
are
have a
parallel.
game tonight. They have games on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
But, like, and super quick, I'm just going to bring this up because their season just
Oh,
started. Their season
and
just
then
started.
as we transition to your PWHL, I think that's a good thing to sort of take off
Remove
the
the sun.
sunglasses finally. Yeah,
Yeah,
finally I can see.
but the thing is, though, is that ironically, the PWHL season started on November 21st. So they have about two. They're about to wrap up their second week. Next week, I'll actually have Rachel Donner on to cover and recap the
Oh,
last
cool.
2 weeks of the PWHL. Right now, now keep in mind, this is something that the NHL should adopt, and it's a 3-2-1-0 point system. So 3-2-1-0 is just like with soccer, 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for a regular or for an overtime win, 1 point for an overtime loss, 0 points for a regulation loss. So it's like soccer.
Okay. Well, I like that. I like that.
Well, keep in mind, the NHL has a 2 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, 1 point for an overtime loss, and 0 points for. So if you go to overtime, it's a 3-point game. It doesn't make sense. Well, the Boston Fleet right now, after 3 games played, are a perfect 3-0-0-0. So they have 9 points. They're first place in the league right now. Again, it's still early. Toronto and Minnesota have both played 3 games as well, and they have 6 standing points where they're both 2-0-0-1. This New York Sirens are 2-0-0-2. The Seattle Torrent just won their first game in franchise history a couple nights ago. They are 1-0-1-1. The Montreal Victoires are 1-0-0-1. They've only played 2 games so far. I believe their third game is actually on Saturday, tomorrow or today, at the time of listening or watching.
Nice.
The Ottawa Charge are 1-0-0-3. And the Vancouver Golden Knights are 0-1-0-3. So their first win in franchise history was done in overtime.
Nice.
And then obviously on January 18th, the Montreal Victoires will come to Washington, D.C. to battle the New York Sirens in the PWHL Takeover Tour at Capital One Arena. You're damn right I'll be there.
I love the
Whether.
names of these teams. They're pretty awesome.
So I think some of them could be a little bit better, but
Yeah,
the way
I like them.
the way that they do the branding for them has worked out really well.
Yeah, I agree. No, they did great branding at the. Yeah, no, I agree. I'm really enjoying what the league's doing right now.
Yeah, so, but like I said, next week I'll have Rachel Donner from Hockey Hot Stove, our friends, on the show to go over the last 2 weeks of the PWHL and also kind of preview some things that I wanted to talk about that never got to happen because the guest I was supposed to have on was unable to come on the show that week leading up to the season opener. So we don't need to talk about Caps. I don't want to embarrass your Oilers too much talking about the Capitals.
Well, yeah, no, it's okay. I mean, I don't know what's, the Oilers, it's always, the whatever the seven stages of grief, you're always doing that from the beginning of the season,
Well,
and
let me put
you
it like
get it.
this. Remember how I said like a lot of your team was like negative 10, negative 17? Tom Wilson, plus 17.
Nice.
Ovechkin, plus 10. Jacob Chychrun, plus 22.
Oh, that's crazy. That's a crazy stat.
John Carlson, plus 10. Dylan Strome, plus
Yeah.
15. Alexei Protas, plus 21. Let's look at
That's
defensemen
crazy.
specifically. Martin Ferravari, plus 11. Matt Roy, plus 19. Rasmus Sandin, plus 11. That's the other factor. Our defensemen are better than your defensemen. I'm so
Yeah.
sorry, Toro, for this high. No, it's
Well,
kidding.
as I was saying, it's one of those things that it's a weird place being an Oilers fan. But I think part of it is you have to just be frustrated most of the time. But weird things have
Yeah.
happened somehow. We'll see. I mean, I don't know if they're gonna be at the finals this year, but you never know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, put it that way.
Yeah,
So.
but we got to talk about something.
Yeah.
You and I, we love the jerseys. We talk about
Yeah.
them. Obviously I showed off this Oilers new alternate jersey. Once again, thank you to Hockey Jerseys. I actually won the Minnesota Wild 25th anniversary jersey. But because they didn't have my size, I had to pick a different jersey, so I went with the Oilers Hyman jersey.
Yeah, pretty good. Good choice. Good choice.
But a couple weeks ago, and the Detroit Red Wings played the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. The Rangers wore their centennial jerseys, and to the surprise of many, the Detroit Red Wings did too. So we had a red jersey versus a blue jersey
Right.
in the same game, and it looked magnificent. I'm not sure if you saw the videos or the pictures of it, but it just looked
Oh yeah,
amazing.
I'm looking down now. Yeah.
It
Yeah,
was
that's pretty sharp.
one thing I've been a big proponent for is more
That's pretty
color
sharp.
jer is more color jersey versus color jersey matchups, especially against a team like the Nashville Predators who wear yellow. Like, there's no excuse why the Capitals cannot wear their red jerseys against the Nashville Predators' yellow jerseys. Or if the Penguins wear their yellow alternates, the Capitals wear their red jerseys against that as well. Like, there's no excuse why it cannot happen. I think it would be better too for the fans because, quite frankly, I've always been the proponent of also, if you're going to have wear a white jersey, make that your home jersey.
Right.
Wear the
I
colors
agree.
on the road. Like the way it was before the year-long lockout. But one of the other great things that we got in that Red Wings Rangers game was the bench clearing brawl,
Well, it's very
the
funny 'cause I looked
brouhaha.
I'm on there watching the looking for the jerseys, and that's actually the number one image that comes up is the bench clearing brawl. So it's pretty awesome.
But yeah,
And then
just
you see
hang.
the red. The red and blue looks good together.
But all I'm going to say is this. The Red Wings then did it again with the post-game brouhaha a week late, like 2 games later, 2, 3 games later. And then you had it last night with Colorado and the Islanders. Can we have more of this, please? Can we
Yeah,
have
absolutely.
like the game against the Ottawa Senators for the Capitals? Charlie Lindgren got fed up and he started going at it with some of the players. Linus Olmark came all the way down to the
Yeah.
Capital Zone to try to fight Charlie Lindgren. I'm like, yes, give this to me. I have never seen a goalie fight in person. Give this to me. I
Yeah,
need it.
I've
I
never have
desire
either.
it.
I've heard of it and I've seen replays, but I've never seen that.
I have been in a goalie fight when I was a
Oh,
goalie in
okay.
ice hockey. It is exhausting with all the gear on. But
Yeah, I guess
I've
you
been in
gotta
one,
flip.
but
Yeah, I don't know how you could do with all that gear. It just seems like it's too much. How do you do that? I mean,
let me put it in
how do you even do
perspective.
a
Like,
swing?
let me
How do
put
you
it in
even do a
pers
swing?
well, I kind of had to cheat because my So when I was in high school, and it was my sophomore year of high school, I go into trying out for Winston Churchill High School in Potomac, Maryland, as a forward, because that's my natural position. I'm a natural left winger. And they cut me, but they said, "We'll bring you back, but you have to be a goalie." So I'm like,
Okay.
okay. And so I have to, so now I'm having to learn because the ice skates are different. You're obviously
Yeah.
learning to play with all this additional gear that you usually wouldn't wear as a forward. And so it's like that entire season was just me learning to play goalie. And interestingly, when I was like practicing at one of my teammates' houses at their like in their garage, he took my chest protector and he slammed it down on the concrete and one of the arms came off my chest protector.
Oh man.
And we're just like, oh crap. And we just kind of did this thing where it's like, well, now it's a little easier to put on. Because I could just slide the one arm in. It was actually the right arm that came off. So I could slide my left arm in, put it on, and then I just, after I put the chest protector on, I just slide the right arm on. Well, when I was in my goalie, there came a point where the second arm came off as well. So I was able to cheat in my fight. So what happened was is that
Oh,
because the
okay.
things are not stitched onto the chest protector like there's normally are, I
Yeah.
had a little bit more wingspan, so I'm able to go in, grab, and then kind of have more range in my
That's
shoulder.
good. A little tips for the youngsters out
Yeah,
there.
don't do what I do because it was also very
Yeah.
unsafe at the same time actually stopping pucks because the reason that the shoulder pad is or the arm is stitched onto the chest protector is to add a layer of protection on for your shoulder.
Right,
And
right,
so
right,
there was
right,
a
right.
couple times where I took a shot and where they're supposed to be padding, it hits
Oh,
me
ouch.
instead. So it's like, yeah. So don't do what I did. If it ever happens to you, get your chest protector fixed or replaced immediately. Don't be a dumbass like me. But still, that's
Or
how
take advantage and get into a fight.
or get advantage to get in the fight and then replace it. But
Yeah, replace it.
it is exhausting because the other factor is like because I've done fights as a forward as well. And obviously as a forward, you have the less gear on, you're able to swivel a little bit better, you're able to move a little bit better. Yes, you're still on ice and you're still trying to balance
Yeah,
yourself out. But
I've never been in a hockey fight. I wouldn't know how to do that. I'm
as
sure
a
I'd be on the ice almost immediately.
but as a goaltender though, you have those pillows on your legs. You have the bigger, bulkier chest protector on you. So trying to move around with that, it weighs you down more. So,
Yeah,
and even in
no,
that, and so it's like it tires you out. You can get your punches in, but the more you do, the more it tires you out just because you have something on you that's so much heavier than like as a
Yeah.
forward, you have that smaller shoulder pad thing. So, but
Well,
yeah.
it's funny whenever I watch something like that too, because you always think of goalies being all these very stoic people, and I think they are. I think that requires a stoic personality. But you keep forgetting, and you feel that sometimes, right? The more aggressive goalies, they're badasses, and every much as bit as anybody else. But just because of the way they're forced to play, they appear stoic. So it's very funny to see someone go into a fight and realize, no, they're just like an angry hockey player, just like everybody else on the ice, So
Yeah.
it's kind of fun. It's pretty fun to watch.
All I'll say is that if you truly miss goalie fights, look up Felix Potvin versus Ron Hextall
Okay, I will.
from the 90s.
I will.
Pull and I think even from like the mid 90s. This was after the Sabres went to the black goat head jerseys. Look up the Flyers and the Sabres because you have a pretty
Okay.
epic goalie fight in that too. I think it was
Okay.
might have been Marty Baron and Garth Snow? Question mark. I don't know. I know Hextall's been in plenty of fights. But yeah, just look up that if you want a good goalie fight.
Nice.
They
Okay.
still
Okay.
happen more interestingly, they still happen more regularly in the minor leagues. Like
Sure.
AHL, ECHL, the goalie fights still happen semi more regularly there. You rarely, if ever, see them in the NHL these days,
Yeah.
which is a shame. Like, here's the thing. I'm not saying have fights all the time, but One of the things in the NHL that has kind of lost its luster a little bit is the ability of, let's just put it out there, like refs not really controlling the games and keeping things under control, but also at the same time, you need to let the players police themselves sometimes. I do agree that there are very good, solid, clean hits that happen that players instantly go after a guy. I know I see it happen quite a bit with Tom Wilson where he throws a good clean hit on somebody and they just and the players will just go right after Tom Wilson even though the hit was clean. I think we need to kind of get away from that portion. But if a player does hit a guy and legitimately injures him, you have to have that unwritten thing of like, okay, you hurt our guy. The refs didn't call it. You need to answer the bell. But, and this is just me going like, I kind of want the old 90s a little bit. I want those old rivalries back. You know,
Yeah, it's only.
like I want to see a Rangers Islanders brawl.
Well, no, also, see,
I want to see a Rangers Flyers brawl. I want to see a Capitals
yeah.
Penguins brawl. Just simply because it adds more excitement. You want to talk about growing the game? Bring back these heated rivalries. Like right now, these rivalries are so tamed
Yep, I agree. I
because
agree.
the teams in their divisions aren't playing themselves enough. I know we're going to 84 games next season, and the idea is that way you play everyone in your division four times. I think maybe we should go a step further. I think we should take the four games in your division. I think we should only play the other division in your conference twice. Or twice. So you take a game off of each, like so in the Caps case, you take a game off of each Atlantic Division opponent and you tack it onto your division. So instead of playing the Penguins four times, you play the Penguins five times. And I think that would be, and now I grant it, yeah, there would be that odd game, but that's something where it's like, okay, well, we can keep that one game and tack it on that Atlantic Division team or whatever like that. And then you just rotate that third game every season to a different team to make sure that you play equally in those 8 years, I guess, that. But that's what I think should happen. I think they should maybe play the other division, and I think, or just in a way, the other divisions, you only play those teams twice. Kind of like how it is, East only plays the West twice. You just tack on whoever's not in your conference and you make all of them twice. And maybe you tack on that extra game that you have there, and you just pick a team, and you again, 7 years, but like once every 7 years, you play that team five times in your division or six times in your division. Doing it that way will rekindle what the 2021 season was. Because if you remember the 2021 season, you only played your division because of COVID. And because of that, and because you're playing these teams like eight times in a season, in that season, you built rivalries. Because by the time you got to that fourth or fifth game, you wanted to kill the other team because you had played them three, four times already. That's what needs to happen. And you need to bring back the 1v8 playoff format for the conferences because you build up your rivalries during the regular season by having them play five times in a season. And then you get into the playoffs. And if you want to keep the divisional thing, which I think is a mistake, at least you have the divisional side of the playoffs leading up to the conference final. At least it's going to be entertaining hockey because you have those divisional rivalries leading into the conference final, leading into the Stanley Cup final. I think that's a better way to do an 84 game season. That's just me. I'm not paid by the league. I'm just a guy on a podcast talking it in his bedroom in Maryland. So,
And I will say that one thing that is, first of all, I think your average layperson always associates fighting with hockey Well,
and
that's
that's
because
what
it's
it's
the only
part of.
sport where they can where it's a
And
5 minute penalty.
that's what I was going to say, that that's the only sport that allows it. And there's one point, I think it was during the Four Nations. I know you're saying you didn't watch it, but there's that thing
Oh,
where Matthew
I saw the
Kachuk,
clips. I didn't watch
yeah,
any
and
games, but
the
I saw clips.
9 seconds into it. And I remember when he went into this full brawl, and I remember thinking to myself, this is why this is the greatest game on the planet, because no other sport would they tolerate this,
Yeah.
right? But they said,
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
this is part of the game.
Yeah,
And they said,
you do it in the NBA. Oh, get like they try to break that up as quickly as possible and
oh
throw you in the
yeah,
locker
it doesn't
rooms.
happen, and it gets you shut down on so many levels. There are fines, suspensions, and everything like that. And here's sort of like, this is just something, this is part of the game,
The
and I think
only
that's part of what makes it great, you know?
other one that I can think of legitimately that would that kind of is close enough is baseball. Because of like, you
Oh,
know, if
because
the
of that.
pit if the pitcher throwing the ball at the head or something like that, or just, you know,
Self-regulating. It is self-regulating
yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
there's a little bit of self-regulating, self-player policing in that, but it's like you don't see it often, but you gotta love it when you're at a game, baseball game and a hockey game breaks out. So
Yeah, you know, and the thing is also too, which, and I've always wondered about this. You know how like the refs sort of let them, wait till the fight settles down. I've always wondered if they've been instructed to do that to allow them to fight a little because it's entertainment.
it's
I've always wondered
actually
about that.
it's interesting.
Or if it's safer for the refs. I don't know. I don't
So
know. I've always wondered about that.
one, I would love to get a former NHL referee on here. If I could get
Yeah.
access to somebody like Dave Jackson or
Yeah,
whoever
you should. That'd be great.
to talk to him on the show, that's a great question to ask them. But to my recollection, gee, bleh, welcome to talking, Mike. To my recollection, my understanding is that the officials are to try at this today's age is to try to break up fights before they can even happen. So if you got guys kind of grabbing each other along the boards, like in a group or something,
Yeah.
the linesmen are to get in there to try to pull them apart before punches can be thrown. But if punches are thrown, get out of the way. Let them fight, and then when you can
I
see that,
see.
and when you see that they're tired, come in and kind of, you know, break it up
Yeah.
type of deal. Or if they end up on the ice, get in there as quickly as possible to break it up. But if you see, like, obviously the one with Tom Wilson and Curtis Gabriel, which you probably see my video on Instagram of the Tom Wilson and Curtis Gabriel fight from November 22nd. If not, I'll send it to you. Which, by the
Okay.
way, I want to thank everybody. It is my most viewed video on Facebook and Instagram ever. Like, I think the last time I looked, it's at like 90,000 on Instagram, 90,000 on
Nice.
Facebook, and 50 on TikTok because they flagged it for some reason. Thanks, TikTok. You could have helped the numbers. But but the thing is, though, is that, you know, that fight, that was one where Cooper sent Will Douglas to fight Wilson. They dropped the gloves. The refs are going to let that one go. Because if they already
Yep.
have the gloves off and they're like in the stance, the refs are not going to get involved with that. Especially the fact that Wilson and Curtis Douglas is 6'9".
Yeah, you keep forgetting how big these guys are. Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
with you.
and Tom
Yeah, you
Wilson's
keep forgetting
six
it.
foot and Tom Wilson's six
Yeah.
four.
Like, you don't want to get in the middle of that fight, for sure. Yeah, I get it.
Yes.
I get it. But
So
it
yeah.
just looks like sometimes they're backing off, and it's almost like they're instructed by the NHL. All right, this is what the fans came to watch. You know what I mean? So
So I
there's
mean, but
that.
it depends. I do feel, and again, this is my understanding, if I recollect it correctly,
Yeah.
I do believe that they are instructed to try to get in there before they can truly
Before
get into a
the
fight,
gloves come off,
especially when there's scrums. I think
before
that might,
the gloves come off.
yeah, like in scrums,
Yeah.
particularly that. Whereas if it's like
Yeah.
a Tom Wilson, Curtis Gabriel situation, it's different. And I want to echo something real quick. Or make something very clear. I am not advocating for fighting to come back in a major way where you see like three, four fights a game and stuff like that. I am not advocating that. I just want to see rivalries be rekindled.
Yep.
I want to see the hatred between the Caps and the
Oh, yeah.
Penguins like four or five games in the regular season. I want to see
these divisional matchups mean something, because honestly, that's what also really draws people in, is when you have a really good rivalry. Like,
Oh, for sure. I mean, really, at the end of the day, I mean, the viewing experience changes dramatically
look at Detroit,
when they're.
Colorado back in the 90s, like
Yep.
the late 90s, early 2000s, when Detroit was still in the Western Conference. Detroit, Colorado, that was a bloodbath, both
Yep.
figuratively and literally, you
Yeah,
know, between
no.
those two teams. And then once they both
Yep.
started to taper off a little bit, and also Detroit got moved to the East, that rivalry fizzled out. Same could be said when again, when Detroit was in the Western Conference, Detroit versus Chicago. You know, St. Louis, Chicago. I would love to see that rivalry become something bigger than it can be. Anaheim, LA could be bigger than what it is.
Right, right.
Calgary, Edmonton is already a very heated rivalry, you
Well,
know.
that's always going to be that case.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
that's the
always going to
one.
be the case.
Yeah,
But
no matter where they are in the standings, no matter how well one team or the other is playing,
oh yeah.
it just
And
becomes a great game.
I think that's the key thing, is that, you know, the rivalries are not as heated as they
Yep.
used to be. And I think when you have much more heated rivalries, that brings more viewership to,
Oh,
or more eyes to the game. And it
I 100%,
doesn't
100%.
need to have a lot of fighting or anything like that. But if you have something like what you have with the Red Wings and the Rangers, where at the end of the game, yeah, the Red Wing popped the puck into the empty net after the buzzer, and then Jonathan Quick takes exception to it, and it creates a bench clearing brouhaha. I want that. I want the brouhaha.
And you know what I think is great too is when things carry over. In other words, you have people chirping from the bench and says, wait till the next game. I love that
Oh,
stuff. Or
like the thing with
the
Dallas,
handshake line.
like the thing
The
with
handshake
Dallas,
line, right?
like with Dallas and the Islanders.
Yep.
You know, Mikko Rantanen. You know, I don't think he did it on purpose, but he put a hit on Alexander Romanov, and Romanov needed to have shoulder surgery, so he's out like 4 to 6 months. And you know, when Rantanen was getting tossed from the game, Patrick Waugh was pretty much threatening him, going like, "You ain't gonna make it out of next game."
Yep,
That's the
yep.
coach. But yet again, we always knew that Patrick Waugh had that fire in him. I love Patrick
And
Waugh.
that stuff's fun because all of a sudden that adds a whole narrative because now what is this guy thinking when he's about to enter this game coming up? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
like a lot of eyes are going to be on that next Islanders Avalanche game, because we know that's the last time they
because
play each other
every
this,
time
or not, no,
every
not the Avalanche, the Stars. So the
Yeah,
last
and every
time the
time
Islanders
he's
and the Stars play, everyone's going to be attached to that, because we're going to go, okay, what's going to happen in this game because of what happened the last game? And we're not
Yeah.
going to get to see a third game of this, because
Right,
they're
right.
two different conferences.
Right, 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 right. So.
So.
Anyway.
Oh man, I miss having you on so much. I really do.
Yeah, so it's been fun. It's been fun. It's
Yeah,
been fun.
we
Yeah.
don't get to
And
do.
I've been out at sea and I didn't watch a lick of hockey while I was out there, but for hoping that I'd come back to a 16 game win streak, but none such luck. But I think I do believe this. You know, and at the end of the day, I'm an actor, right? So I'm not a numbers guy at the end of the day, obviously. I mean, I am personality wise, but at the end of the day, I kind of feel like I've learned as an actor to ignore the numbers because you'll be toast if you do. And so I'm going to say that, well, you know, Edmonton's pushed me and on the entire Oilers Nation for the last two seasons, and now they're really pushing the envelope, saying, are they actually a bad team this year? And you don't know, but I kind of feel like, well, maybe this is where it gets interesting. And as you're saying, it's still within reach. So I sort of feel like maybe it's good that I came back to a losing team. I
Well,
don't know. That's my rationale.
and the funny thing is that I tend to get you back on every 4 weeks, every
Yeah,
four
yeah,
weeks,
yeah.
every about every
So,
month. So who knows? The next time I get you on, obviously you and I will still be texting and calling each other, going like, "Oh my God, did you see this?" and stuff like that. But like podcast wise, who knows where the Oilers will be at that point.
I mean, last few games, I mean, I'd say, well, obviously they had the win last night, but I would say there's a small victory with the 1-0, because you know, I keep forgetting these are really good teams too. And I think just keep it down to one goal. I felt it actually made all the Oilers feel good. We only had one goal against. That's sad. That's very sad. But that
You know,
actually made Oilers Nation feel good.
let me actually look at something. Because I don't think we looked at this. Where is it? There you are. Teams, Oilers schedule. I just want to see something real quick.
Yeah, they got like two or three
So,
more home games.
I'm actually going to go back
I think tomorrow night they've got someone.
I'm going back to the beginning of November. So they won 3-2, lost 3-2, lost 4-3 shootout, lost 9-1 to Colorado.
Yeah, that's classic.
Won 5-4, won 2-1, lost 5-4. That was both to Columbus, by the way.
Yeah.
Won
Yeah.
4-3, lost 5-1 to Buffalo. That was the infamous Rob Ray line of, the net's been empty all night when Skinner got pulled for the extra attacker. Lost 7-4 to the Caps, 2-1 to Tampa. That was a loss. Beat Florida 6-3. So that was like a feather in the cap. Hey, we got a revenge from the
That was a
Caps.
good game. That was a good one.
Lost 8-3 to Dallas. L beat
Ugh.
C beat Seattle 4-0. And then lost 1-0, 1-9-4. So it's
Well, you know,
like
I tell you what all
it's very up and down on how many goals are given up for the
it
Oilers.
always is, and I think the right now Oilers Nations is sort of taking solace in the fact that, well, we're still better than
We're still better than
the
Vancouver and St. Louis.
Kraken. So, yeah, exactly. So, and at this point, I'll take it. Anyway, but yeah, always fun to chat with you on this stuff. And so, we'll see. You know, and you know, I agree with you. I think the disruption of the Olympics is a little untimely. But you know, who knows? We might get sucked in. You know, we might. You know, and I don't like I like I know what you're saying. The long-term effect on the NHL is not good because I don't care about a gold medal right now. I hate to say it, but and I like to think McDavid doesn't care about a gold medal, right? He
Oh,
probably he'll say he
he's
does.
on the Olympic team.
Oh no, he'll say and it'll be nice, but I don't think that's what he's
Well,
after right
right
now.
now he's not going to say it. But once February
No,
comes
no, no. I
around
mean,
and
he
he's
has
out
to.
there, yeah.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, deep down, there's only one thing that guy cares about because not, you know, everything, his whole, all the work he's done, every, you know, all this energy he's put in, it doesn't, I wouldn't say it doesn't mean anything, but is severely handicapped by not getting a cup. I mean, one thing he does not want to be is the greatest player who never won a Stanley Cup. That's what he does not want to be. And that's got to be wearing on him right now, and you know,
So
and especially the conditions of thing right now.
for Connor McDavid, it will matter to him for an Olympic gold medal. And
You
here's
think so?
why.
Okay.
Here's why. He's never played in the Olympics.
Well, there is
Ever.
that,
Ever.
which is so weird,
The
but yeah.
most he's done under 18 World Junior Championships, World Championships, World Cup of Hockey when he was part of I believe he was part of Canada for that one. Yeah, he did two World Cups and then the Four Nations.
Yep.
And he has a gold in a World Cup, fourth place in another World Cup, because I think he might have been Team North America for that one. I don't remember. And then he obviously got the gold in Four Nations, but he has never played in the Olympics.
I guess that's something. So if he, I guess that's something. But you know, they've got to win the gold medal to begin with. So before that's even an issue, so.
But like, and
So
I
anyway,
think
but a lot of hockey ahead, and you know, maybe we got the preliminaries out of way, and at least everybody knows what's in front of them, and you know, now maybe the you know the hockey season is truly beginning, you know, maybe.
I mean, like they always say, where teams lie on American Thanksgiving kind of dictates where teams are going to be in the play, what teams are making the
I
playoffs.
agree.
But even right now, you kind of throw that out the window because there's still too much parity. Still too
Yeah,
much
I
parity.
agree. Yeah,
Like
I never know what.
the fact that the Metropolitan Division is a 5-point difference between first and eighth, I'm sorry, it's too close to call.
Yeah, and I'm always amazed at, and just the nature of hockey, I guess, is, you see them go up and down the ice, and even when they're playing the Kraken, I don't know. Kraken could score in the next play, and I you don't know. I mean, it's kind of a game of parity, you know what I mean? To me, it's sort of like, I see so few kind of true blowouts where they're just skating around. It's like they're playing with kids. Even the really bad matchups, it just seems like just going up and down the ice. It's like you got to work for everything now. It just seems that way. It seems like that kind of game. So anyway, but that being said, that's why it's a great game, and that's why we love it. And I mean, and good for your Caps, man. And I'm gonna look to them as inspiration, saying, well, you
We
can
started off a little not great. We turned it around.
And turning around, like to see any team turning around, I'll take that. If I see any team turning around, I say, all right, it can be done. It can be done. So, and that's great. So, yeah, so it's fun. Always fun talking with you about this
Yeah.
stuff. So,
Love it. Love it. So with that, Toru, where can everyone find you on social media?
just my first name, at Toru Masamune, I guess at Toru Masamune, Toru. Masamune. I think it's. Do you see it on the corner there? I don't know. I can't remember.
I always tag it in Instagram, so it's
Okay,
on
but
there.
that's usually the best. That's usually the best. I do have a website, same thing, torumasamune.com, but I would say Instagram's probably the best way to
See everything.
keep up and see
Yeah.
everything. And yeah.
And of course, for me, everything's at the Lindenbaum 75 or at TXHT underscore hockey. And the website, of course, is TXHTHockey.com. And with that, we got Toro back. It's been 2 months. It's great. I love it. It's
Back
always
from the back from the oh, high seas, back from the high seas.
back from the high seas and from doing a stage show. And
Yeah,
from
that was
doing
good. That was
a
fun.
and doing
Yeah,
a
that was
stage
fun.
show.
Yeah, and I also did a cool, oh, I guess I can't really, that's freaking NDAs. I can't talk about anything I do anymore. But anyway, I did something I'm not allowed to talk about. So it's been good. It's been a good month. So yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. So in a month we still won't be able to talk about it. But so
Yeah, yeah,
what
yeah. I won't be able to tell you any, but hopefully, I'm having a few more things happening this month that I can tell you about next time we meet.
Yeah. We'll increase it from 1 to 4. But anyways, with that, he's Toru Masamune. I'm Michael Lindenbaum. Thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and until next time, we'll see you on the ice.